Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 426 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on this week's show, we'll be talking about the forthcoming shows at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre when Scott Bird and I have a chat. We'll also be hearing music from two sets of musicians, me for Queen and also Mike Watson. They'll be on the line and we'll be hearing some tunes from them. We'll also be finding out about Canon Productions' Saturday Night at the Movies. That's taking place at the Lighthouse on the 9th of September. But first of all, we go back to Greece. Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre plays host to Greece from the 27th of November through to the 2nd of December. Their Rizzo is Louisa Litton, and she is sat next to me now. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, and you must be loving this tour. You've got probably one of the best parts in the show.
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving it. I'm so lucky that I'm playing Rizzo. She's so much fun. I mean, growing up, everyone wants to be Sandy, but I think you hit 16 and you're like, now I want to be Rizzo.
But I mean, playing it with the right level of sass, an incredible amount of sexiness, and just living that role on stage. Is that how you live your life generally?
No, and it's really funny because, you know, to play a character like that on stage, it does kind of build up your confidence in everyday life, because all of a sudden, when you're having to, for 2 hours of the evening, be this like confident, sassy, I kind of get off the stage and I'm like,
there's no missing you when you go for a pizza afterwards.
No. It is good fun, and it's nice for me because obviously all I've ever really played, you know, TV wise, is the victim, the girl next door. So for me to now play a character that's like, you know, at the top there, and everyone has to kind of go by her rules, and yeah, it's really fun for me.
And it's been a career which started out in musicals, but has seen television along the way.
Yeah, so I went to Sylvia Young. So I trained in all three, but it's just not something that I ever thought I'd be doing, if I'm honest, was a musical. I always wanted to act, and I always saw myself doing more like drama and TV. So then to be offered this, I was like, God, I've not done this in years. So I was quite scared to begin with. It was quite daunting just to go back to, you know, my roots and what I've trained in and you know, and start again. But I'm so glad that I did it.
Yeah, but what a musical to be involved in, though. The songs you can't help but know and love, and you must have a favourite. So what is your favourite from probably, I mean, you're not old enough from the first time round from the film, but what is it that sticks in your mind from maybe from when you were a bit younger and singing along to?
From when I was younger, probably Grease Lightning. That was like the big number. But for me now doing the show, it must be Grease is the Word, because it's like the opening of the show. We're all on stage together. Like, that's my favourite number.
And a big cast for this one as well. And a lot of different members of the cast getting a lot of adoration. Obviously, Tom gets his fair share of whistles when he comes on the stage. Yep. But Eugene is very popular.
Yeah, he's extremely popular. But it's such an iconic character. Like, and he's amazing in the show. And he also does lots of tricks as well. Yeah, he's incredible. So yeah, he gets a massive, massive cheers.
And with the other work you've done, were you and Tom both on the same series of The Jump?
Yeah, so I met Tom, well, a year ago we did The Jump together in Austria, and like all these things, you never think you're going to be working with these people again. And it was exactly a year later that we started rehearsals for this, and I was like, who'd have thought when we were up those mountains that we'd be here a year on in The Jump?
Yeah.
He came in actually as a stand-in, and there were obviously so many injuries that Tom ended up going into the show, but I was awful. I was first out.
Are you tempted to do that sort of stuff again? Did you enjoy the that's got to be the biggest adrenaline rush from any of these things, but obviously Strictly's there. Is there anything else that you fancy?
No, I'm not really sure. I loved Strictly. I'd possibly do like The Jungle or something like that, but in years to come, not yet.
And obviously with everything else you've got going on, I should think that's quite difficult to fit in, because you've even done Panto and the like as well.
Yeah. So I'll do Panto most years. I won't be doing it this year because obviously we'll be still doing this. But yeah, I've been really busy. I've been very lucky.
When you're approaching a role like Rizzo in this, did you go back and watch the film, or have you seen previous stage productions that have helped along the way, or did you just make it your own by reading the script?
I think you have to make it your own. Obviously, I know the film. I know the film inside out, but I decided not to. I watched the Grease Live, which was like the American version that they did recently with Vanessa Hudgens, and I watched that before my first audition, and then I just thought, I'm just not going to watch. I can't watch the film because you can't. I'm not Stockard Channing. I never will be. You know, so you have to have your own take on it. So, yeah, I decided to kind of stay clear of that.
some fantastic scenes in the production on stage. Which is your favourite moment on stage?
For me, it's the, well, we call it the PG scene, which is the kind of is she, isn't she pregnant scene. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a still moment of the whole show, which is just crazy, crazy music, loud. And then you have this like scene of silence, which is really nice and really good for me, obviously, being an actress.
Yeah, you actually get to explore a character really well, and that's something you maybe don't necessarily expect in a musical which is as big on the music as this is.
Yeah, but it's needed because it is the story of Greece, and that's kind of what everyone is waiting for, you know.
Well, I mean, Greece is the Word is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre on the 27th of November through until the 2nd of December. 01902 429212 is the box office number. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets and come along and see the fantastic Rizzo from Louisa Lytton. Thank you for joining us and thanks for having a chat.
Thank you.
In a moment or two's time, we'll find out about the forthcoming show from Canon Productions. Meanwhile, let's get a bit of a sample of their sound with something from Harry Potter.
Double toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. Double toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble. Something wicked this way comes.
Canon Productions presents Saturday Night at the Movies. Literally at the movies. It's the Lighthouse Cinema on Friar Street in Wolverhampton. It takes place on the 9th of September. To tell us more, Kate Brindley Webber, hello.
Hi, Jason.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
You're busy again, aren't you?
We are busy. We like to keep busy as a company.
And perform well and entertain people as well, which is always good. And it's a load of great movie hits, raising funds for New Cross Hospital's Children's Ward and a brilliant venue as well down at the Lighthouse. So how did all this come together?
So we've been performing together as a group for about 3 years. We like to raise money for local charities. And we decided on New Cross Children's Ward because my nephew was looked after there last summer. He was quite unwell, and they did an amazing job looking after him, and we thought we'd really like to help support them.
You've seen the importance of what they do and the extra help that they need with the sort of stuff to keep the kids amused and entertained when they're in there as well. And it's a daunting experience for anybody having to go into hospital. But if you're not that old and it's probably your first time away from mom and dad, it's not really a good experience at all. And they do their best to make it as comfortable as they can.
Yeah, they do. It's an amazing place. All the staff there and all the different treatments that they offer. It's a fantastic place.
So what can we expect musically on the night?
So we've got loads of different songs. We're trying to do something a bit different. So we're doing lots of songs from movies. Some that you might expect, like we're doing Dirty Dancing and Pretty Woman and Wizard of Oz, those sorts of things. But we've got something from Harry Potter as well, which is quite exciting. Something from Goodfellas. So there's a real range of things, not necessarily just musical theatre stuff, which you might expect.
So plenty to see. And when it comes to films, they feature music so heavily, but sometimes you miss out on what's going on because it's there moving a scene. And it's only when you look back and think, hang on, that was an amazing piece of music. It's often with either emotion or making an action scene happen. And you're going to capture all of that when you take to the stage at the Lighthouse on the 9th of September.
Yes, hopefully.
Well, 7 o'clock for a drinks reception, curtain up at 8 o'clock. How much are tickets and where can we get them from?
Tickets are £10 and you can get them from the website, which is ct.co.uk/canonmovies.
So Canon Movies, C-A-N-O-N, Movies, ct.co.uk, stick a forward slash, then put Canon Movies on the end. Or if you want them by phone, 07841 463651. That's 07841 463651, just a tenner. Dress code is red carpet ready. I'm liking that. So you're expecting a few fancy frocks?
Hopefully, yes. We're all planning on dressing up, and anyone can wear whatever you want, but if you want to dress up, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, have a bit of fun with it. Decent suits for the boys, and make sure if you want to wear a dicky bow that you look the part with it as well. That should be quite a treat. And a great cause, a great night. I've seen you guys before. I know it's going to be well worth getting down there Saturday the 9th of September for Canon Productions with Saturday Night at the Movies. Kate, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Jason.
Saturday Night at the Movies. Who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby in the last row of the balcony.
There we go, another taste of Saturday Night at the Movies, that from Canon Productions at the Lighthouse on the 9th of September. Last week saw the release of Jessica from Me for Queen. To tell us more about the music, we have Mary Erskine. Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Very, very well, thank you. Very well.
Now, the phrase critically acclaimed soul folk artist, which has been bandied around by your press team, is an interesting one. I love the whole concept of that. Tell us what a soul folk artist is.
Well, to be honest, it just seemed like that would make it a little bit easier. But I think genre is a bit of a tricky one anyway.
Yeah.
I think some people find the folk thing can be split two ways. Some people think folk is just singer-songwriter, you know, writing sort of personal songs about their life. And then some people think folk is sort of trad folk with, you know, if there isn't a fiddle or an accordion, then it's not proper folk. So I just put a soul in front of it because I have slightly jazzier inflections, and I thought that would be okay.
But it sounds like it's a genre which you're using and creating and working with to make sure you can get your message across. And unless you believe in the song, you're not going to put it out there, are you?
No, exactly. So, but for now, soul folk seems to work. To be honest, you know, you just need to listen to songs and you can decide.
Now, this is nothing new to you. You've been releasing songs for some time now and have great media coverage in the past, understandably so. But, I mean, you've got classical training. You've got a blues guitarist in the family. With your dad playing that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
This has all shaped you, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. My earliest sort of memories, obviously, I started piano when I was very young. I learned by ear by the Suzuki method. So you start when you're about 4 or 5 anyway. It just happened that a teacher moved in sort of nearby where we were living. And so it all starts from there. But I remember my dad playing guitar, you know, in the evenings and stuff. And he used to put on these kind of mini gigs. And occasionally I would, muster up the courage to sing some backing vocals. But in fact, Dad's opening for us tonight. We've got a kind of local hometown gig where I am just now, and he's going to be doing an opening set, which is very exciting.
Yeah, well, you're out on tour all over the place, so are you going to drag your dad out on the road everywhere, or is that...
No, sadly, just tonight. We haven't got the space in our tiny car.
Well, this is your fourth tour this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be the fourth in the last. I was away in May, and then I did another one in February, and then I did another one last November. So it's been busy. I've just been sort of grabbing opportunities as they come, really. And then this is a kind of, you know, so this is the first of the kind of proper headline one, so it's a co-headline with Emily, which has been great so far.
And you're in Birmingham at the Crescent Theatre on the 4th of September.
On the 4th,
great venue, and I think that's going to suit your music well. And although you may be seated, they can still get up and bop around the aisles a little bit, can't they?
If they want. It's going to be a solo gig, so it'll probably be, you know, probably along sort of more mellow lines. And then there's also Anna Pancaldi. We're doing it as a kind of joint headline. So she's a good friend and she's brilliant. It should be a good night. I'm excited. I love playing Birmingham. It's one of my favourite places to play, actually.
And piano-based music all the way. Does this mean you carry your own piano with you?
It does. Not my own piano. It's a keyboard.
So it's an electric piano. And these days, those are indistinguishable from the real thing. In fact, if anything, there's even more control, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. You can get some pretty nice ones. Mine's, you know, it does the job. It's great. And then a little bit of a guitar, obviously, now that we've got Jessica out. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Me for Queen moniker that you're working under, is this, mm-hmm. Is it aspirational or where did that come from?
I'm trying to nominate myself.
It's out there.
It's not that secret. No, really. I thought if I said it enough, then people would just start, you know, getting on board. But no, I just like the sound of it. I don't know why. And ME is my initials. And I was just kind of throwing words together. And I just really like the words Me for Queen. It just seemed to work. And I sort of stuck with it. I thought about changing it. But then the last few years, I was like, no, I can't change it
don't
now.
You do that? We know you, so that would be wrong.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
It also probably works quite well with your social media. So tell us where we can find you online so we can keep track of what you're doing.
facebook.com/meforqueenmusic, and then the rest is all at Me for Queen on Twitter and at Me for Queen on Instagram.
This is not your first release in recent months either. You had a short while back, you had the EP Who Am I and What Am I For, so you know you're doing that back in February. This is your next outing. There'll be more to come. Mm-hmm. Keep checking back for it, and make sure you enjoy the music from a very fine stable and fantastic work that you're doing.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's lovely to chat to you.
Well, it's about time we had a little bit of a listen to the track that you just released. This is Jessica. Once again, Mary Erskine, Me for Queen. Thanks for joining us.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's lovely to chat to you.
I took a pilgrimage to the British Museum. Seems I'm a tourist in this town. Now I'm set to leave. Not much of a connoisseur. Always struggle to see. Past the first impressions, the sheer weight of history. But today, somehow, it all came alive. I could feel every brushstroke, each chip of the carving knife. A babbling river of voices I heard, even if I didn't understand the words. And it's not up to you. You don't get to choose whether to be loved or to be left behind. No, it's not yours to see. It's the beholder holds the key. She sees the angel, then she carves to set it free. Hunch in the shoulders. Where did you learn that fear? It's the apology of a whisper I strain to hear. I remember that chocolate cake, those kind, sad eyes. Baking it over and over, but you never take a slice. But there in that place, your eyes shine bright. Fountain of wisdom, you're flushed with pride. Do you stand a little taller, or is that just me? Oh, Jessica, I hope you can hear me. 'Cause it's not up to you. No, you don't get to choose whether to be loved or to be left behind. So I'm building a statue to show you what I see. I see an angel and I'll carve to set it free. I heard you stopped eating. Heard it's been a rough year. Now we're standing in the garden, close to tears. And now look who's helpless. No, I can't find the words. So I'm holding on with both hands for all it's worth. Up above, stars twinkle through blue. How can anyone feel any more than helpless in that view? Grains of sand scattered light across the sky. Oh, Jessica, we've only got tonight. And it's not up to you. No, you don't get to choose whether to be loved or to be left behind. So I'm building a statue to show you what I see. I see an angel and I'll carve to set it free. No, it's not up to you, and you don't get to choose whether to be loved or to be left behind. So I've built you a statue to be seen from galaxies above. Hope you remember. Remember you were loved.
Last week, Mike Watson released his single Lying for Love. We'll hear it in a few moments' time. Meanwhile, he's on the line there to tell us more about it. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for calling. How are you?
It's good to talk to you. So it's always a joy and a pleasure. And the debut single is doing its business. And good reaction so far, I trust.
Yes, it's social media since Friday's. It's been pretty mental, to be honest. But yeah, the feedback's been great. Everyone's really liked the single so far. So I hope it continues, yeah.
When it comes down to it, I mean, you cite someone like the Eagles and Oasis amongst your biggest influences, yet this is going to appeal to the fans of Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber as well.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a very musical family. My dad was a massive music fan. My grandmothers were both music teachers. So every Sunday we'd have little music quizzes around the table, and the Eagles, you know, was my family's favourite band. So I think, obviously, they're amazing songwriters, Don Henley, and I think the melodies from the Eagles kind of stuck into my head. You know, strong melodic songs. And I think I've kind of taken that into Lying for Love, and hopefully with a bit of a pop spin on it, hopefully people, you know, who appreciate pop music today will like it as well.
Well, you've been out on the road supporting Maroon 5 and Magic, so that's going to have helped with the putting yourself out there. But when it comes to the track itself, the teams behind the Kaiser Chiefs, Little Mix and the Saturdays have all been involved in making this music happen.
They have, yeah. I was really fortunate enough, actually, to work with a guy called Toby Scott, amazing producer, based down in Brighton. And I've worked with a fair few producers, but we really hit it off. I went down to work with him for 5 days, came out with four or five really strong songs, one of them being Lying for Love. So, yeah, I'm just super happy that it's now out there and everyone can hear it at long last.
And is there a video online yet, or is that coming in a few weeks' time?
The video comes out this weekend, actually, this Friday, coming up. So 4 days, then you're all through that on YouTube. Keep your eyes peeled for that.
And what are we looking on social media?
So, social media, if you go on Instagram and Twitter, it's Mike Watson Music. And then if you just go on YouTube and type in Mike Watson, Lying for Love, it should come up there.
And at least you'll find your channel so you can make sure you're ready for it released towards the end of the week. So that's something to look forward to. But, I mean, when it comes to putting yourself out there for this musical performance, this career, what was it really that prompted you? Was it that sitting around chatting and talking music with a family, or did you just want to be famous?
Well, to be honest, I grew up in a really sporty and musical family. As I said, you know, with my grandma's influence, both of them, and my dad. They kind of gave me a guitar when I was younger and a football. I wasn't very good at football compared to the guitar, so the guitar took over. And I just loved writing songs. I remember we had a little garage outside, and even in the winter, I'd just be out there writing songs, and they're absolutely terrible. And I'd come back in and play them to my family, and they'd, you know, give me a little bit of tough love when I needed it. But most of the time, they were quite encouraging. Ever since I can remember, I've loved playing the guitar. I played the drums since I was little, so there's nothing else I ever really wanted to do, to be honest.
And when it comes to the studio stuff then, are you bringing people in to work alongside you, or how do you make that happen?
Yeah, so I've been quite fortunate, you know, as I was in a previous project and I went on tour, as you say, with Maroon 5 and stuff. I've been fortunate to meet some really cool people, some great writers in Sweden, over in the States, and here in London. So I love collaborating with new people. I think it's really important. If you keep just working to, you know, on your own, you know, you'll never really improve. It's always great to learn from other top liners, other writers, other instrumentalists. So I think that's really important to do.
And this isn't your first taste of success either, with the number one hit in Japan and the tours that you did in your previous incarnation in music. There's going to be no stopping you. And doing this on your own, I suppose it gives you more control and complete freedom to do what you want the way you want to.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly it. As you say, over in Japan, it was great. And I was part of a band, and it was amazing. It taught me so much about the music industry, you know, touring, going to new countries, seeing new cultures, just playing live shows, big and small. But at the end of the day, it wasn't quite what I'm doing now.
This is about your music and you having a voice, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I can go into the studio, I can say what I want to say, and I don't have to worry about if four other guys feel the same way about, you know, certain issues. And, you know, stylistically, the way I look, the way I dress, I just wanted it all to be, you know, completely 100% me. So that's kind of why I've gone down this path, yeah.
Right, we'll now judge the outfit you wear in the video that comes out this weekend. And we're going to sit back and enjoy the song and judge this for ourselves. It is Lying for Love. It's Mike Watson. Mike, thanks for joining us. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for the call, and I hope to see you all soon.
I thought it was love. Thought it was something, a moment of lust or a moment of nothing. The touch of your sin got my heart beating. The taste of your lips, that poison drip, you left me there bleeding. You've taken my heart and locked it away. I'm telling you now, you're a dangerous game to play. You're making me crazy, yeah, I thought it was love. It's all done, the lights have faded. I'm left in the dark, and I'm sitting there jaded. Now the fire's all gone, forget what I told you. I thought you were a match, I thought you were a spark, but I guess you were the water. You've taken my heart and locked it away. I'm telling you now, you're a dangerous game to play. You're making me crazy, yeah, I thought it was love. But I won't be going out that way. I thought I'd see you when the sun came up. Guess I was lying.
Welcome along to Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. You find me in the Encore Lounge. I'm here with Scott Bird, who is rather excited, as is everyone here, about the first in-house production for nearly 40 years. Brastoff starts on Wednesday night.
Yes.
We've got a prize giveaway. You can come along to press night if you've entered our competition. But there's loads more going on as well. But first of all, Brastoff, what's happening here? Because it's been a frenzy of activity.
Yes, I mean, most of us in the office have been off for the weekend, but it's been a hive of activity. There's been lots going on over here, and we've come back, and we've suddenly got a show. we've got a couple of dress rehearsals to happen before Wednesday night, but Wednesday night is the big one. We're opening, as you say, our first production in 40 years almost that we've produced here at the theatre.
And it's been nice seeing people as we've got along, because the cast are up for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Geoffrey Holland, we know something which we're not going to talk about just yet, but the theatre is very dear to his heart.
Yes.
And, you know, from his perspective on this, from someone like Ash Matthews, who's just starting out, and mm-hmm. to other members of the local cast, and then onto the community cast as well, who, even some of them, are heading out to Eastbourne with it after
yes.
here too.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's a really special production for all of us here. We've been working on it for probably the best part of a year, behind the scenes and sort of all the planning that goes into it. And then the cast have been rehearsing for the last 3 weeks. And like you say, it really brings everyone together. We've got a brass band from the Wolverhampton, made up of mainly the Wolverhampton, City of Wolverhampton brass band, augmented with a few other local band members. Mm-hmm. And we've got a community ensemble who, for some of them, it's their first time on a professional stage. Others have worked professionally before and have now got other jobs and are coming back to the stage. And then we've got a professional cast made up of people who have had careers on the stage and TV, like Geoffrey, but then, like you say, Ash, who is pretty new to it and is it's one of his first jobs out of drama school. So it's a really special sort of time for us all as we sort of build this.
And of course, people out there watching this will no doubt be excited about seeing this as well. And a show which draws people in anyway, mm-hmm. but even more special because of the links to the homegrown production, yeah, Made in Wolves, as it says, yeah. all over the posters, the Facebook page, I think on the website, it is absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what standout things have there been for you as you've watched all of this coming together?
Well, I think the first day of rehearsals was really nice. Sometimes I've been to London when a musical has been rehearsing there, or I've gone in at sort of like the second or third week and seen a pretty polished performance, really. But the first day of rehearsals was quite nice, seeing everybody come together and meet everybody for the first time, looking at the set design. That was all really nice. And then I think the first day in the theatre was really nice, seeing the set being built. You know, we'd seen model boxes and pictures of the set for months, but seeing it actually being
built. Yeah, check out the time-lapse on that. Yes. Well, take a look at the time-lapse on the Facebook page where you're finding us now, and just take a look at that and see how it all actually builds up. It is really, really impressive.
Yes.
But even then, having the writer, Paul Allen, down as well, mm-hmm. I know from the chats we've had, he's keen to get involved in virtually every production out there of this. But yeah. this is probably bigger than he's used to in some ways, because we're not talking amateur cast who've done a lot of this mm-hmm. recently. This is as big as the tour that headed around the UK in recent years.
Yeah.
And this is a big show, it is a popular show, and the music in it brings it to life, but the acting tells the story.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's really nice about Paul is he's literally just been on the end of the phone. If ever we've needed anything, he's the man that knows most about the play, and he's just been so involved, so happy to be a part of it, and yet never controlling or never sort of saying, oh no, do this, do that. You know, he's been perfect to work with.
But you've had all the opportunities as well of having a great local area, mm-hmm. which has got a similar background to Grimley, Grimthorpe,
yes.
For the real thing. So going down to the Black Country Museum and seeing the coal mine mm-hmm. down there, just utilising the brass band in the City of Wolverhampton in West Park. All of these have added to the flavour of this.
Yes, I think it's something, it's a story that means a lot to people in the local area, not necessarily mining, but, you know, as there was a mining community here, but with the Black Country and the factories that were here, a lot of people, if they don't, if they haven't sort of been a part of the mining communities, they've been part of the Black Country community and the industry, and I think, yes, like you say, it means a lot for sort of local people. And hopefully they'll come and support it.
Well, fingers crossed. Mm. And we'll get onto our competition to mention it now. We're not going to do the draw until the end of our Facebook Live here. So if you're one of the tens of hundreds of people who've entered, then, you know, we've got here the prize. We've got a hat full of names. Mm-hmm. And that's staying just there for
yes,
now.
Yes, it is.
But we will be doing that draw in a short while. But there's a lot coming up over the coming weeks, and you've made some announcements today as well, which has been quite exciting.
Yes, it's been a busy first day back after the weekend, but we've just announced a new season. We announced on Friday that the West End and Broadway musical, Beautiful, which is the Carole King musical, will be here as part of its first UK tour from the 12th to the 16th of June 2018.
And it is important to plan this far ahead.
Yes.
And you want to get the best seats for that one. They're all going to be great seats in the house. But if you've got a favourite, I know I have. I'm not going to tell you where it is, otherwise you'll be trying to nick my seat whenever I'm coming to a show. But if you've got somewhere you like to sit, as a friend of the Grand, you can get your tickets from?
Yes, if you are a friend of the Grand, you can get your tickets from Wednesday, 10 a.m. this Wednesday, which is the 23rd of August. But if you aren't a friend of the Grand and you aren't a member, and you can become a member, but if you're not, you can book from Friday, 10 a.m. on Friday, the 25th.
Little window for friends to get in there first.
And on, so, there is 15% discount for Friends of the Grand on selected performances. So.
Take a look out for that one. Mm-hmm. So you can find all the details on the website.
Yes, which is grandtheatre.co.uk.
Always eager to get that one in, you're worse than me. But it's, you know, that's just the start of it. We're looking forward to June. Before then, one that I think you're going to absolutely love. I'm guessing one of your heroes.
Yes.
Christopher Biggins.
Uh-huh, yeah.
27th of October?
Yes.
A Friday night?
Yes, well, Friday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
It's an afternoon with Christopher Biggins.
Yeah.
So at 2 o'clock, you can come sit in the auditorium and just relax and join Nick Owen from BBC Midlands Today, who will host an afternoon with Christopher Biggins. So he's going to talk about everything from his life on stage, TV, film, probably I'm a Celebrity, you know, everything that he's sort of been involved in.
So a nice matinee.
Yes, a nice matinee. It's been 6 or 7 years since he was last here in Panto. So if you saw him in Aladdin with Paul Zerdin back in 2010, I think it was, so 6, 7 years ago, then it'd be nice to have Christopher back.
But again, just an absolute star. And there are stars all over the stage at the Grand very often. And some stars you can't get.
No.
So there's an answer to that, isn't there?
There is, yeah. most of our tribute shows that we've had, our concerts that we have, looking back at like the greats like Queen, we've had Bowie in recent years, you know, and stuff like that. But this one is a little bit different. It's somebody who is still with us, but...
Isn't going to be touring that much.
So, so Adele, Someone Like You, the Adele songbook, we're really excited about having on Wednesday, the 15th of November, and there was, if you remember back to the Graham Norton show a few years ago, Adele actually picked from a collection of Adele's. She actually handpicked one of the Adele's, and it's going to be her who's joining us.
So it's November. Adele's favourite Adele.
It's Adele's favourite Adele, yeah, on Wednesday the 15th of November. And that is an evening one, so yeah.
Now, there's someone who definitely can't be with us is Buddy Holly. And
yes.
We've got the Buddy Holly and the Cricketers coming along on the 7th of March next year.
Uh-huh, yeah, they're returning, popular demand. And the Fizzogs will be back as well, so nothing like Buddy Holly. But if you're a fan of the Fizzogs, the Black Country comedy
group... Who isn't a fan of the Fizzogs?
Yes, yeah, of course you are. They're coming back, and if you're a fan of Frozen, then, well, it's the perfect combination because it's their new fairy tale, Fizzogs Freezing.
You know, do the accent. You're trying to do all posh. You're from Smedic, so you can do it. So we've got that along. And when you look at the accent front as well, you've got Blood Brothers and a bit of Scousing there for you.
Yes. Oh, well done, Jason. That was
I can
very
talk
good.
About that all afternoon if you want me to. So that's on stage on the 16th of...
April. 16th of April.
So that's heading forwards. So I'll stop doing that now. Again, casting to be announced?
To be announced, yes. It's one that always does well, Blood Brothers. We're really excited to have it. We don't have it every year, but sort of every other year, and it surprises. Well, it doesn't surprise me because it's a great musical, but it pretty much is difficult to get a ticket by the time it gets round. So,
last time round was my first time seeing
really?
It. Really? Yeah. And again, there's normally a Nolan in it, but that's not necessarily guaranteed.
Not necessarily.
then it's a great show. Again, it's the songs, it's the emotion, and it's all about what theatre is for. It is about bringing this sort of thing. In London, you may go to the West End and you may see something that's set in stone, and you see a stage which has been built to stay there for 6, 12, 18 months. When something's on tour, it's got that little bit of a raw edge to it as well, which means you've got people who, you know, they come into a venue, they see it for the first time sometimes, you know, on the Monday on getting, and then whether it's a Monday night or a Tuesday night opening, they are then going with it. They've had a short rehearsal, but they have to make the most of this, and that's about their craft.
Yes.
And the people who are doing tours are often, you know, just so much more talented because of the way they can cope with that sort of thing, and it's fun at them.
Yeah. And I think that, like you say, with Blood Brothers, raw emotion, I think, is something that always comes across in Blood Brothers. It was the first thing that I ever saw in the West End on a school trip. I was probably about 12, and I always
a long time ago in high school.
Not that long ago.
Okay.
and I, I, I always remember Blue Brothers. It always stays with me. And I think people come back again and again and again. So if you do like Blue Brothers, Monday the 16th to Saturday the 21st of April 2018.
Yeah, make sure you're booking ahead. For, you know, and these will make great Christmas presents. Book them now so you've got them in plenty of time. I know I've just used the Christmas word. And
yes.
I've already been to the shops and noticed the Christmas sweets out there today. So you've got to start thinking about it.
Yes.
And what better way than wrapping up a pair of tickets to someone's favourite show or possibly their new favourite show, which they're going to love when they come along and see it at the Grand. Grandtheatre.co.uk to find out details on all of those and all of the other shows that are out there. 01902 429212 is the box office number, and there's, I say, different dates for different groups of people as they come to buy. Do make friends with the Grand, join up. It's already one of the biggest friends groups in the UK. It'd be fantastic to have you as part of it to make it even bigger. Mm-hmm. But it is just part of the ethos of the theatre and being involved in, and I think that is going to come out, as you say, in Brastoff, with the community cast and everything that's going on there, the involvement of everybody in the theatre. So we ought to give away a pair of tickets and some goodies as well.
Yes.
So we've got behind it. We're going to give away a Milk Bar mug.
Yeah.
So we've got that. So we've now modelled the prizes.
There we go.
This is going to make Emma work slightly harder on cameras. We've got. Oh,
we're going to have a nice zoom in on the mug.
Yeah, thank you. she's working on it. We've got a Chromecast.
This is very exciting.
Yeah, this is a media streaming device by Google. If you haven't seen one of these, if you've got a dumb TV that you can just watch whatever's plugged into the HDMI port on it, this brings you a whole new world. You've got all the YouTube stuff, you've got Netflix, you've got iPlayer, all that sort of thing. But you don't stay in the whole time. Come to the theatre. Do make sure you come and enjoy that. And when you're on the way, you can wear some headphones.
Yes.
And you can
these really rather cool red ones.
And listen to an MP3 player.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we say we do have the tickets to come along to Brastoff. Now, it's on press night. You've got to be available on Thursday this week.
So hopefully you're available on Thursday. It did say in the original competition. So hopefully you're free on Thursday. And the winner, Jason, is in that hat.
It is. So what question did we ask?
So we asked what was, you had to listen to the Milk Bar podcast interview with Geoffrey Holland. And we asked, what was the first theatre that Geoffrey attended as a small boy?
Okay, into the hat. I'm going to hold into it over your head so you can't see.
Let's just show everybody. They are in there. That's everybody who entered the competition.
Yeah.
And of course, the theatre was Wolverhampton Grand Theatre. This
Where else would you go for your first
theatre? Was the very first theatre that Geoffrey Holland ever came to as a boy. And
you got just the one?
Oh no, there's multiple ones. Yes, there we go. Okay. I got a winner.
What should I do with the hat?
Well, you can wear it if you like, Jason.
I'm going to end up with bits of paper on
there
it.
There
I'm covered in bits of paper. I'll put it back down.
And it is, the answer is correct. So
that was a bad move.
Yes. Yep. So the winner of all of this tech pack and two tickets to the press night of Brastoff.
Not the sign and not my iPad, nor Scott's phone.
No, nor the glass of water. But everything else will go to Sue Oliver.
So.
Congratulations, Sue. We'll see you on Thursday.
Yeah, we've got your details. We'll get in
touch. We'll send you a message on Facebook. Yeah.
So that's all in hand, and Scott will look forward to meeting you when he comes along and you meet up with him at the press desk.
Yes.
We'll see the press from around the area. There's going to be loads of coverage, I know, because it's already been on Midlands Today. I mean, WCRFM, Black Country Radio, made in Birmingham. Who else has covered it?
The Milk Bar Podcast.
Oh, you forgot about me. and everywhere else as well. So do look out for all the coverage and enjoy a very special experience for the city and the first of many of these. I've been talking with Adrian a while back.
Yes.
It isn't going to stop, is it?
No, hopefully. We're going to just keep going from here. So hopefully we'll see some musicals and stuff in the future as well. So
are you going to be in one?
Crossed. Oh, I don't know, Jason. I might get my tap shoes out.
Cute Scott tap dancing out of the Facebook Live that we're doing now. However, do as ever check out the website grandtheatre.co.uk. 01902 429212, the box office number. Check out our interviews as well. They're coming along at themilkbarpodcast.com. In fact, we've got stuff on Facebook as well and on the Jason Forrest 72 YouTube channel, that sort of thing. We had a show with Tom Parker, who's in Greece. That's coming up in November, 27th of November through to the 2nd of December, Monday through Saturday. So you can see him and hear from him. He's of The Wanted. And we'll be hearing as well from Louisa Litton very, very soon. That will be going live a bit later on this week, so we'll all share that and enjoy hearing from some of the stars who are coming to the stage of the Grand Theatre. But for now, one of the stars who keeps himself a little bit more behind the scenes, Scott Bird, thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
And we'll sign off from the Encore Lounge and see you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Well, that's a lot for this week. Thank you so much for joining us back with episode 427. And if Zoe's word is true, she will be with us. Fingers crossed. We'll see what happens. It's a bank holiday weekend. Anything could go wrong. But I shall see you then for another episode of The Milk Bar. So off for now.
Goodbye from The Milk Bar. Goodbye from The Milk Bar. Goodbye from The Milk Bar. Goodbye from The Milk Bar, yeah. Goodbye from The Milk Bar, yeah.